And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of The Gaming Issue. I know that it seems like it's been a while since we brought you guys another episode, and you're right, it has been. It's been a while. I think the last episode that we recorded was back in January, so it's been almost 3 months. But we've been doing a lot of things here in Village. We've been increasing our infrastructure a lot. We got a lot of cool things coming you guys' way. As you all may not know, we've recently expanded Village to create an affiliates program. So now we're bringing in all of these creators, all these people that stream, game, participate in esports, shoot podcasts. We're bringing them all together. And we just want to do that because we hope that, we can expand Village to a point where not only are we bringing you guys that esports and entertainment from our team, but we're also allowing others that, really want to go out and create and make content to, get on the world stage. So here with me today is Quincy. And I don't know if you guys remember him, but he was on our last stream. We had did a panel discussion, so there were three of us, and we had brought you guys gaming and politics, where we talked about a lot of things. I'm not gonna take up too much of his time. I'm gonna let him go ahead and introduce himself one more time for those of you all that are new here.
Hey, so how you guys doing? I'm Quincy Skillion. I am part of the social media team here with Village. And also what Tay was talking about as far as like the streaming content, I've been streaming. I mean, I've been, supporting Terrio and also Matthew. So, it should be a few clips from them coming soon. So it's like some competitive content from Marvel Rivals and also, like some Horgan content from Phasmophobia and hopefully from Dead by Daylight and so forth.
And that one, that that one, that 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 brings me to a question I got. So I was at the gym yesterday, and I was working out with one of my buddies, and he was like, I got Phasmophobia. I was like, what the hell is that? And he was like, dog, y'all posted it on your page. I got it because y'all posted it. And I was like, dude, I don't do all the posting. But he was like, dude, it's like super fun. And he was like, you gotta play with me. And I was like, well, what the hell is Phasmophobia? What is that? Like,
So with Phasmophobia, it's just one of those games. It's you're basically a detective, so you're kind of investigating to see. So not just a ghost, so it's like it's different types of ghosts. So you have like a yokai, you gotta see if it's like a wraith or a phantom. It's also a mimic, so it kind of like mimics like human like noises and behaviors. So it's you, it can be you alone, or you can have up to like three friends with you. So it's a four player game. And basically you just have certain clues. So you have, ultraviolet light, so you can see handprints on certain doors. You also can use it's kind of like a supernatural hearing device. You can kind of hear the ghosts like crying out to you. You can use a thermometer. So if the temperature is dropping and you see your breath, it means that the ghost is in the same room as you. But it's kind of if you basically take too long, and this is what happened in the clip. So we was kind of taking too long to figure out what kind of ghost it was. So the people was playing with Kimante and Matthew, they basically died. So Kimante had died first, and me and Matthew like ran out, and then we went back in the house. But the ghost, I don't know. I guess he heard Matthew laughing at Kimante's dead body. So, that's why I kind of made the clip. I was just like, oh, he was like, oh, what you laughing for? So it wasn't me that shut the door. Like I'm not a jerk like that. The ghost basically would shut the door when it goes in hunt mode. And so Matthew was screaming and he was begging to be let out, but I couldn't do anything. So that's why from my perspective, you can see me like going back and forth because I was trying to open the door for him. It was kind of hilarious. Then so I made the clip, and then I just thought about that one monkey meme, when he's just like banging on the door and stuff. So I mean, I just thought, it was just a quick little like clip, man. So
So the ghost is a player or AI? What
the
is it?
ghost is a computer, and yeah. So I forgot to mention. So we was in game chat because when you there's like a device that will let you talk with the ghost. Yeah, so yes, so go ahead and click on Phasmophobia. Yeah, so it'll let you talk in game chat and you can call out the ghost name, which is fine. Sometimes it will respond, if you ask what how old it is, if it's passive or aggressive. You know, sometimes it will answer you, sometimes it won't. But if you, so like the in-game mechanic is if you say the ghost name and you say anything disrespectful to it, it's gonna like automatically trigger a hunt, like
Oh,
within like the
wow.
next. Yeah, so I mean that's why I was kind of telling Matthew to go ahead, you know, and just, you know, kind of interact, you know, don't be afraid to talk to it. I know he's been working on the clips and stuff, so you know, you guys will be able to see the full play session sometime soon. But yeah, I mean, if you haven't seen the clip already, you know, it's in like the reel. So go ahead, check that out, guys.
And as you all can see, Phasmophobia is on sale right now for 25% off, from a drop down from $20 to $15 right here on the Steam store. So Phasmophobia is cross-platform. So if you buy it here on Steam, you can also play with your buddies out there through the cross-play feature on Xbox and PlayStation. So go ahead and check that out, everybody. Like I said, we posted it. So go ahead and get that a check while it's on sale. You know, it sounds interesting. I'm gonna go ahead and add that to my cart so that y'all can't say that I ain't about it, and then we're gonna keep moving.
Yeah, I forgot to mention that it is crossplay, so it doesn't matter if you're on Series X, you know, on Series X, S, PS5, you know, PC. So go ahead and copy it if you're interested.
And I was like, I was thinking of a clip, bro. I was like, I don't know if anybody's familiar with the Aaron the Plumber dude who's currently taking over the internet, man. But like, bro,
Oh man.
he's currently taking over the internet, bro. So I was sitting here dreaming, and I was like, damn. So I woke up because I had dreamed of like a funny ass clip. Because I don't know if you guys like whenever people be like he comes in, like they show that cut of him when they say, my buddies tell me not to get started, and then it's just the cut of him, bro. So I was like, damn, dude, I
Dude's a
was gonna put
menace.
it. He's a freaking menace. I was gonna do a collage of games that people play when it's like, hey, bro, when your homies say that we not gonna go as hard this time, and I was just gonna slap a cut out of him in there and be like, oh yeah, me when my homies say don't push.
Yeah, don't.
I like, all right, man. But nah.
Man, playing. So, it's like I said, and if I'm saying his name wrong, like, I'm sorry. So, like, me, Tario, and David, you know, we was playing Marvel Rivals, and we, you know, out of like the five games I played with them, we went 4 for 1, man. You know, it was like I was the thing the first two matches, and then that's when I ended up switching to healer because, like, the one match we lost, it was pretty bad. But Tario, you know, he was giving pretty good call outs and stuff. You know, honestly, like we all wasn't, you know, really too sure how the session was gonna play because, you know, it was our first time kind of playing. I mean, I played with David a few times before, but you know, as far as like all three of us, we were just trying to see how like the chemistry was. So you know, I was mostly playing Vanguard, you know, in healer. David was Human Torch every match, but hey, he's doing good. You know, I'm not really complaining about how he did. Like Interior, he basically was Doctor Strange, and he was going crazy, man. You know, it was pretty dope seeing that. He also switched to Magneto too. Yeah, he was good. Yeah, sorry if I can't remember who else he used, but yeah, it was pretty dope session.
That's good. That's good. Yeah. Marvel Rivals is definitely taking over the gaming sphere. And for something that happens so fast, and a lot of people like playing those type of games. And Overwatch, I noticed gonna offend some of my Overwatch fans, but you know, Overwatch, it was dying. It was dying hard, and I feel like it was very limited because once we started diving into the Overwatch universe, we only had so many characters that they could implement. But with Marvel Rivals, it's unlimited possibilities damn near, and there are so many characters that you know
So
can
many
come in the game
characters.
with so many different abilities. And as we all know, Blade is going to be coming in real soon, the Daywalker, and then after that, who knows, the sky's the limit. There's so much that I foresee them doing with that game. And for everybody out there, it's free to play. It's not one of those things that you got to buy. So if you're skeptical and you know thinking about not hopping on the Marvel Rivals wave, just remember it's free to play. If you hop in, play it a little bit and don't like it, cool. You didn't spend any money. All you did was give a little bit of your time. And so it's just something to try. But As of course, moving on. So we're now in the month of March, and we've seen a lot of things come and go. As far as the past 3 months, I can't really say that there's been too many big releases. I mean, of course, Obsidian Entertainment dropped their game Avowed that came in with some mixed reviews. A lot of individuals were kind of in the middle ground with it. I feel like looking at a lot of the clips, looking at a lot of the reviews, everybody's trying kind of fed towards the middle. Of course, there were some very stark and bottom of the barrel reviews that said that this game isn't that great, and then there were some that were huge outliers that said that it was a top tier game. But for the most part, it kind of sailed in the middle. And of course, it's on Game Pass, so again, it's one of those things that's free to play. Only thing it costs is your time. Me being a big RPG guy, when it came to Avowed, I understand. I just feel like it was made. There should have been more lore into it. I feel as though, especially with Avowed being based off of a game and a universe that is already well established. I think that when the developers created the game, that a lot of people were just looking for a better story. For those of you that don't know, that there's are that is based off a CRPG game that's already out there. What was
Yeah,
the name?
see, I wasn't even aware of that.
Yeah. So
Yeah.
yeah, Avowed is based off a already going CRPG game. Man, I suck with names, but I've played this game 120 freaking times. What's it called again? Please hold on. Who knows? Maybe I'll cut this out and you guys will never see it. Pillars of Eternity. So yeah, Avowed is based off the universe from Pillars of Eternity. So it was already in an established universe. I played a lot of the Pillars of Eternity games, starting with the first one, and then of course I made my way on to playing not only the DLCs of the first one, but also playing Pillars of Eternity 2, Deadfire. Avowed could have had a little bit more lore and a little bit more story, but as far as the AAA releases that we got, I feel like the AAA games of this last quarter didn't really go as hard as they should have, Quincy. Not for January through March, or January through
Yeah,
February.
I agree with you mostly on that statement. There's only one game, that's not, free to play, is actually, a AAA, traditional release, and that's Monster Hunter Wilds. Yeah, that's, yeah, I mean, that game has been doing numbers. I mean, even compared to Monster Hunter World, like, which is like, the first Monster Hunter game that really brought like the mainstream casual audience there. I mean, yeah, like, I feel like, Wallace has been doing like very great.
And I've talked to a lot of people about Monster Hunter Wilds, because the thing that they try to do with Monster Hunter Wilds is that they got rid of a lot of the things that we hated from the previous Monster Hunters. So of
Yeah.
course, yeah, I think what was the Monster Hunter game we got together to play? Like it had to been years ago, but we played a Monster Hunter game together.
I'm pretty sure it was World. Yeah, it was the one that came out like 2018.
Yeah, Monster Hunter World. So it took out a lot of the crazy aspects of just always having to, okay, go trail a monster, crush it, kill it, cut it up, make armor, get a bigger monster, crush it,
Yeah.
kill it, cut up. Like it got rid of the redundancy. A lot of people are saying, like, you still do that, don't get me wrong, but
Yeah.
it implemented mechanics that made it way easier to go through the grind. Like, of course, there are mounts now, and the mounts kind of auto trail. They t you say where you want to go,
Yep.
and you just input a location, and then the mounts take you there. And that is a big thing in a game where in the past you did a lot of walking, a lot, and it.
It was a lot of backtracking. Yeah, like you said, trying to find clues. I mean, which is like normal coming, I mean, because like you're already hunting the monster. So I mean, it is, you do have to like trail it somewhat. But I mean, yeah, it just kind of streamlining it, like. But I want to say the one that was in between World and Wilds, so Monster Hunter Rise, that one I feel like a lot of people felt like it was too streamlined, it was too arcadey. But the thing is about it, it was more on a smaller scale because it first released on a Switch, and then I think like a year or two later it came out, for PC and, consoles. So, I mean, a lot of people felt like Rise was a step back. You know, it made it too simple. So, I mean, I feel like with Wilds, they actually kind of found like a good balance. You know, like you said, as far as it not being too arcadey and not being too like grindy.
It was a lot of people are liking it, and I know people putting in crazy hours in it. But yeah, so definitely in my opinion, that is probably the number one of the AAA games that it came out. Of course, Monster Hunter is something that I can't say it's like a new take. It's not a new IP, but it's definitely been around for a while and it has a very solid fan base. Monster Hunter is one of those things that Bandai Namco knows that when we drop it, that it's gonna have a good following. It's gonna have some good buys, you know. And I just like that they continue to strive to bring in new groundbreaking features, especially with a game IP that is as old as Monster Hunter is. Monster Hunter has been around for what, a little over,
Since PS2,
PS2. So
PlayStation 2.
little over 2 decades now. So it's just one of those things where you really gotta put time and understand that the team, even though of course in this day and age, you know, from 2 decades ago, the original team isn't all there. Of course, there are some familiar faces, but there's also some new faces, and every individual that they bring onto that team still strives to kind of, you know, change the script a little bit so that things don't get repetitive. And changing the script a little bit brings us into our next game release that is going to come out in this quarter. We're looking at a March 30 release for Assassin's Creed Shadows.
Assassin's
Assassin's Creed
Creed.
Shadows. Now, we talked about Assassin's Creed Shadows. It wasn't me and Quincy, but it was another member of the Village team. We spoke about it very briefly, and in that brief moment that we talked about it, there were things that we brought up that were also brought up later on. And before then, of course, it was the DEI aspect of the game, and DEI wasn't even a term that was thrown out there like that, but it was something that we had mentioned where we were like, this would be a game that also just brought us, you know, something that we look at like, okay, Assassin's Creed has been predominantly historical, but now you're bringing in a black protagonist and a female protagonist. And it's one of those things where, of course, you often hear the acknowledgement of who asked for that. Especially in a game that has primarily been historical. I mean, depending on the location that they place the game, previous Assassin's Creeds have always tried to stay in line with that, you know, historical and cultural aspect. I mean, of course, starting with our first protagonist, Altair. Of course, he was Muslim. They put him in a location where the original, you know, back in historical, the assassins of the Hashashin were Muslim. They're a Muslim sect. So they used that, and then of course it brought us to our second protagonist, Ezio Auditore. He was Italian. We were playing the game primarily in Italy at that time, and it's now okay. Yeah, we go into there, and I'm not too upset about the female ninja protagonist. That's something that you know more is kind of in line with the culture, but when we talk about Yasuke, we also got to understand that he was a very small part of the history. And there's going to be a lot of history that has to be implemented or changed up a little bit in order to make the game kind of stay to its parallel historical accuracy. I'm not going to say it's completely accurate, but it kind of makes parallels. And with him, of course, it's like, okay, great, he's here, but also he was a very, very small part of Japanese history. And I feel like, of course, by making him, you know, your samurai player, it's gonna take away, and we're gonna see some people that play the game that might feel like there could have been more, because of course now you have to play a game where of course you're gonna implement racism, and that is also gonna take away from it. And I want to see how Ubisoft navigates that, because of course, you know, in the historical text, Yasuke faced racism. There was a piece in his story where the Japanese tried to bathe him until all the black came off.
I did read that somewhere.
And of course that's why he became a samurai, because of course at the time Oda Nobunaga, who was the mo one of the most powerful daimyos of the period, decided that, whoa, this guy is abnormal. He's not he, he you know he's gonna if we put him in armor, he's gonna be scary. He strikes fear in the hearts because, of course, at this time the Japanese had already been familiar with the white man. But when he was brought over as a slave to, I'm pretty sure it was a Portuguese, he was enslaved by a Portuguese man, a trader, a merchant, that they hadn't seen this type of person at all. And I just want to see how they're going to create the story around him. Because if you want to make this man an assassin, in my mind, it most assassins are individuals that don't stick out in plain sight. If I
Yeah,
see
I mean,
this,
that's a good point.
if
That's a
I
good point. I
see
mean,
this
he's
man
like
of, yeah,
6 foot something.
he's 6 foot. Yeah,
Yeah.
they describe him as being very tall, of course, having locked hair. And it's like, if I see this guy approaching my castle, it's gonna be like, okay, this guy's like, I'm not gonna, I'm not gonna not give it a second look. I'm gonna be like, hey, this guy, like, what's up,
Yeah,
man? What are you
exactly.
doing
So
here?
I think from some earlier gameplay kind of like presentations, basically the girl is gonna be kind of like more, if you want to play, a stealthy playthrough, like a more traditional stealthy playthrough. And then, if you want to be Yasuke, it's more just like, you just bust through the front door, just nothing but just straight action. There's no stealth at all. I mean, but I'm glad that you kind of gave like, a background, because I know that he's, a real person. He actually exists. He's a, historical figure. But I just wasn't really sure what his occupation was. I see on the internet all the time people argue what he actually did. But as far as like him being on, Assassin's Creed, that game has always been historical fiction. In historical fiction, you have the liberty to like, kind of exaggerate what somebody did, and change events. But I've seen that apparently Ubisoft is saying, they're claiming what he did as fact. And yes, I feel like, me personally, I feel like that is disrespectful. But I mean, as far as him being a protagonist, I don't see the problem with him being a protagonist, as long as everybody know that it's not, historically accurate. I mean, accurate. But I mean, like, I see just a lot of people just kind of bringing that up and saying, oh, it's not historically accurate. I'm like, a lot of Assassin's Creed, is just historical fictions. I mean, it's not real. I mean, one person, I mean, so I was brought up to somebody as far as like George Washington, he's a tyrant in the Assassin's Creed 3 DLC. And then, I mean, and like a person kind of made a rebuttal about it, and he was like, oh, well, that was a dream section. I was like, okay, so what is the difference between, somebody dreaming, like being in a dream reality versus like, you going in a machine called the Animus, and you're reliving your ancestors' past memories? I was just like, it's all fiction. I don't think it's disrespectful until, like I said, until you say all of it's fact. 'Cause, I mean, that's, that's for any culture, background, history, you over there changing stuff up and saying, okay, this is what really happened.
And what I don't want Ubisoft to do with this game, depending, sink or swim, I don't want them to, if it does sink, do what they did with Star Wars Outlaws, where they blamed the player base on the on the non-success of the game. Like, oh, you guys didn't want to play Star Wars Outlaws because the protagonist was a woman. And now I would not want to see that happen, especially with this game, where it becomes that that scapegoat where, oh, you guys didn't want to play the game because one of the protagonists was a black man, and then of course the other protagonist was a woman. Because I feel like, and it had it kind of, because Ubisoft did with what Dragon Age Veilguard did, it basically created the catalyst for its own failure. Of
Yeah,
course,
I
I mean,
agree.
all politics taken out of it. Once we started making games where we were like, okay, like we need to do this and do that. This has to be better. We gotta add more women in games. We gotta add more color people in games. We gotta make games more inclusive. And I understand. And in some games, great. They do a really good job. But in some games, it's taken overboard. Veilguard was one of those games. In my opinion, Star Wars Outlaws wasn't. It wasn't the fact that the protagonist in Star Wars Outlaws was a woman. It wasn't that at all. It was just the fact that once again with Ubisoft, we saw that the game was rushed. The game
Yep,
was
exactly.
that they had made promises that they knew were false, and they made no intention to keep them. Even later on down the line with patch updates and DLCs, no intent to keep those promises. And I just hope that that doesn't happen with this Assassin's Creed, because it's been a very long time since we've seen Assassin's Creed. The last the it like I'm not gonna say it hasn't been it hasn't been a great amount of time, but of course the most recent Assassin's Creed, we've seen them return to their roots, and we got to kind of get that
Mirage.
aspect. In Assassin's Creed Mirage, we returned to our roots to a time before when the Brotherhood was very young. And that allowed us to kind of do that grand reset from back when we were throwing the RPG aspect into the games with Audit when we did Assassin's Creed Origins, Assassin's Creed Odyssey, and Assassin's Creed Valhalla, where they started adding in the aspects of, Egyptian mythology, Greek mythology, and then
And
Norse
Norse, yep.
mythology, where your character was more so an aspect of a godly being. More so than a regular assassin. Of course, in Odyssey, I forgot who you're the son of, but you were a demigod. And then in Valhalla, you were an aspect of the god Odin. So
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
it I'm not gonna say that it went crazy, but it went from the most I can do is what somebody in peak physical condition can do to, oh bro, I'm about to hit you with a lightning bolt.
yeah,
I'm
exactly.
like,
I mean, I feel like it's just one of those. I know this is, this might be a hot take to somebody. It's like one of like those Saints Row kind of things where it started off
yeah.
as like, it was a GTA San Andreas inspired game. It's
Yep.
very grounded, just like a street game culture. And then Saints Row 3, they're just testing the water. Like they made them like some like entertainment kind of like organization, like it's
Yep.
making movies, had commercials, and it's still doing crime on the side. And then it just got, it was like, okay, so they just kept trying to up the ante every game, so you had Get Out of Hell. I mean, you also had, Saints Row 4, just basically, a Matrix kind of like
Yeah.
parody, essentially. I mean, and it was, I mean, I like those games, but also at the same time, I could see why somebody didn't, like them, because they feel like, oh, this went from being, more realistic. I mean, in a way, because like Saints Row's always had goofy elements and stuff, but it just got, more like unrealistic and just ridiculous.
Yeah, you guys made an international gangster the president of the United States. I mean,
Yeah.
shit, fuck it. I could say, before this previous election that I'd be like, oh, it's impossible to have a felony and be the president. But I mean, as you can see, things change. But I mean, maybe Saints Row got it right. But
Yeah, I get that part right, yeah.
for me it was the alien invasions, and I was like, well, damn, dude, like well, once the world got destroyed and then we started playing the game through an entire simulation, I was like, all right, guys, like
Yeah, but I'm to tie that back into Assassin's Creed, it's one of those things, once you kind of lose that foundation, like you lose your core audience's like trust. They can't back you up as much, so of course they're gonna be skeptical of each release. I mean, I would say Ubisoft has been struggling with Assassin's Creed ever since, Assassin's Creed Unity, and from there it's just been hit or miss. I mean, I haven't really, me personally, I haven't played an Assassin's Creed game since Assassin's Creed Syndicate. But I mean, it's no disrespect, so I don't really know where people are kind of drawing the line. So when people are kind of, making an uproar about, this upcoming, Assassin's Creed Shadows, I'm just like, okay, like I've already viewed modern day Assassin's Creed as kind of like, average. So it's just like, oh, this is the game where people are just, are willing to, draw the line, but like, okay, this is it. But yeah.
And we'll see, because I feel like and with the delays, I think Ubisoft also knows that there is a lot of their reputation and a lot of their future success riding on this game. because the like I said, the past three games, that past three AAA releases that they dropped have been failures in my opinion. Of course, those games being Star Wars Outlaws, which we've already discussed, and then we also had their release of Avatar Frontiers
Yep.
of Pandora. That one hit a that one hit a big drop, and I can't remember what the third one was. I think it might have been. No, I feel like Skull and Bones. Skull and
Skull and
Bones.
Oh my God, Skull and
Skull and
Bones, yeah.
Bones. Yeah.
When that came out last year, or yeah, I'm pretty sure it was last year, I was just like, why won't you just go play Sea of Thieves? Anybody who don't know what Sea of Thieves is, great game. It's basically everything that Skull and Bones should have been, but just more like realistic. You guys should look it up. Like Skull and Bones is just who wanted. Nobody wants to stay a ship the whole time, and have cutscenes, where you're like kind of boring other people. Like people want to be able to. I mean, I know in the hub world you can't walk. You control your actual pirate character, but as far as like the main gameplay, this is just World of Tanks but on the sea. So it's just, I mean, it's World of Ships. I
They
mean,
already
me
got
personally,
that
that's kind of I feel like when you only can stay in a vehicle for like the majority of gameplay, it gets very boring. And they called it not AAA game, they called it AAA, something like that. I was just like where has the budget gone?
Yeah.
Because I mean, you guys are, yeah. I mean, that was a really bad flop for them, because I think that was supposed to be an Assassin's Creed Black Flag spinoff, but it basically was just stuck in development hell. I mean, it's a whole documentary about it.
And that's one of them things is that they've been trying to do is
Yeah.
they've been trying to ride the success of Assassin's Creed Black Flag for so long. Because when
Yeah,
Assassin's Creed
Assassin's
Black
Creed,
Flag, and
Far Cry.
they first added in the sea mechanics with Assassin's Creed 3, where we got the ship and it was kind of like a little test run, and everybody was like, we
Yeah.
really like the ship play. And then Assassin's Creed Black Flag came out and everything just exploded. There was
Yeah.
it to this day, I think it's still one of the most successful Assassin's Creed games.
It's basically it. That game was a blessing and a curse, because it was just such a peak for them that it's just been hard for them to top it. It's, I mean, it's been very hard. I'm not saying that there hasn't been a good Assassin's Creed since, but I mean, arguably, a lot of people are gonna say, it's gonna be like one of like the first four, if they don't say Black Flag. Well, I know Black Flag is the fourth one, but I'm saying if they don't say four, it's probably gonna be 1, 2, 3, or
Revelation,
Revelations. Yeah,
yeah.
exactly. I would say I have, well, X Defiance. I mean, X Defiant, that. I think that game is like, are the servers shut down now?
X Defiance, man.
Yeah, I know they announced it'd be shut down. I'm not sure, if it's shut down this month or last month, but that's just one game that was like,
Oh,
oh,
that
it's no
came out in
skill-based matchmaking.
2024. Dude.
Yeah, I mean, that game lasted longer than Concord, but so
Oh, they still got
what's it telling
their
you?
service up. Let's see when
So
they
it's
say
still
that they're
up.
gonna. They'll shut down June 3rd, 2025.
Okay. So, hey, it's still up, but the game barely lasted a year. Basically, it was supposed to be the Call of Duty killer. You know how many times people said they're gonna be the Call of Duty killer and fail? I mean, that's been going on for like decades at this point.
Decade, and that
But
kind of thing.
there's one game that Ubisoft, I feel like they have a chance if they do this right. So they. If nobody was aware, on March 13th, basically, the Rainbow Six Siege X trailer came out. It was released. They're showcasing just like 66. I mean, basically they was like revamping a lot of stuff. So like the grapple system, what I mean? So it's a lot of things. You guys should go ahead and check out the trailer. I can't really summarize everything off the top of my head. But we're gonna see how the fans, and like returning fans and new fans actually, respond to that. I mean, this is kind of Ubisoft's last chance, really.
Their
'Cause
last chance. Can't.
Siege has been carrying for a long time.
And you mentioned COD, and that brings us into our big thing. But of course, COD announced we're going back to Verdansk. We're finally going. And I can't even tell you how many years it's been since Warzone came out. I just feel like it's been such a staple for the longest. But for those of y'all that don't know, of course, new generations, people got picking up the sticks for the first time. Verdansk was the first map. The
The
first
first.
Warzone map of whatever game introduced us to Warzone. It was the first map. And it has been a long while. I can't even remember what Verdansk looked like because we've been going to so many different maps. But Verdansk, like, it was one of those places where, it was definitely a make or break. Because I remember, I feel like the next map might have took us to the island. Do you remember the island from like Call of Duty? What was it? I don't know. The island where you could
Yeah, I
fight
remember that
Godzilla and King. Like, it was there were so many maps that came after
map.
Verdansk. Verdansk has now been like stuffed down and sent a sack to the very bottom. It's the very last gift on the ride. But they announced it.
It's a big, nostalgia bait play, basically. We all know that. This update, I believe is dropping April 3rd. You can go
April
ahead,
third.
and fact check me. So April 3rd. So this reception will let us know, if Warzone is gonna stay on the decline, or actually, make a comeback.
Make a
And
comeback.
as far as what game you said had introduced Warzone, it was I believe it was Modern Warfare 2019. But yeah, I remember during COVID, it was me, you, and the guys, man. We was just playing Warzone, playing just like a bunch of like private matches. I kind of want to give, the precursor to Warzone kind of a shout out, Blackout Mode from Black Ops 4. I don't know if you like remember that or not. Yeah, Blackout Mode. Yeah, if anybody remember Blackout Mode, man, yeah, that was such a. I mean, it basically was kind of like a beta for Warzone in a way, but it was just a whole bunch of Black Ops like focused characters, and they basically put in a whole bunch of classic Black Ops maps all in one thing. So, you had Nuketown and like a whole bunch of other ones. I can't really think of all the names right now. But, I mean, it was pretty good. But I feel like right now I was just Call of Duty kind of, going back to Saints Row and Assassin's Creed, they kind of like losing their way. Like, you actually had people, it was just more operator focused, operators with like certain skins and stuff. But now it's getting to a point. I mean, they always had like, some like little goofy kind of outfits, but now it's just the fact you can say you have 21 Savage, Kevin Durant, Homelander, and a goddamn tree all on the same team. It's just like the characters, it's just like, are you guys trying to, compete with Fortnite?
And of course, there's money in it. There's money in
Yeah,
it.
of
I
course,
mean,
man.
we both can admit we bought a skin that we really effed with. Like, we knew we just, like, I don't even buy skins, but I gotta have that skin. And it keep it, it it I feel like it kept the game going. The only thing that changed up is, of course, with the release of this installment of Call of Duty, the most recent installment, was that they changed up Warzone a lot. I hate to say it. It was one of those, if it ain't broke, don't fix it type of things. Because Warzone, of course, there were things that I liked that I could understand how to go. Like original Warzone, when it first came out, it had backpacks. You remember that? You could
Yeah,
stuff,
I do remember.
you could put a third gun in a backpack. So you could walk around with your assault rifle, your SMG, your pistol, and then whip out a sniper rifle whenever the time came and just stuff extra
Switch.
stuff in your backpack. And there were different sizes. There were medium and large backpacks. And it was like, oh, okay, like you could really get kitted. And in my opinion, I don't think that they should have took that out. I think that they should have added some aspect of encumbrance to the game, where if you're gonna move like that, you're gonna
You just
be
move a little
heavy.
bit slower.
Like not like when you pull out a sniper rifle, you run a little slower than you do if you have a pistol or SMG in hand. No, like we're gonna encumber you based upon how heavy your kit is, because that's and I get it, a lot of players will hate that, but I mean, shit, Quincy, we've been there before. When you put on full kit, you're moving slow. Like
Yeah, full
you're
battle
moving
rattle.
slow. If we really want to talk about, add some realism, And it doesn't have to be that real, but if you slap on a full kit, if you slap on
Yeah,
Kevlar, if you
fucking
want to carry extra plates, if you
yeah,
want to
little
carry extra
ACH on your
ammo,
head.
you need to feel that weight. And I think that that's something that they need to add in there, because that will incentivize players to travel lighter. If you really want to
Yeah.
outrun the storm, travel lighter. Yeah, you're not going to hit as hard, and I get that, but that also kind of that will also add in some assault aspect to the game, where yeah, man, like I got my guy carrying an RPG and a 50 cal, but
You
these
know,
men
yeah,
are
you still
packing
running just.
with
Yeah, I
Uzis
mean, I agree.
and sawed-off shotguns. Like, they're going to hit hard,
Yeah.
but they're not going to be as slow.
Yeah,
And
this is true.
it started adding in different aspects, where now in this new one, you can't carry as much body armor. There, of course, is the omnidirectional movement, which I kind of like, but also
That was good.
there's the new target profiles. And I also kind of like that, but in Warzone, it makes Warzone super hard. In normal multiplayer gameplay, it's great. I get it. Because if I get shot in my arm and you kill me, I'm going to be pissed the fuck off. But in Warzone, if I am tagging somebody, they need to go down. If I hit you in your arm with a 50 caliber sniper rifle, and in real life, even if I don't hit you, if I get within 3 inches of your body, just the force of the bullet is taking off some flesh. If I hit you in your arm, sir, go down. That's the issue we're having right now, where it has those limitations where, yes, it's good for some player bases, and it also makes you really have to lock in on your target profiles, chest and head. But certain guns shouldn't fall under like it shouldn't fall in that category. And I get it, we
Yeah,
can't
I agree.
dismember. We can't dismember in the game.
And as far as like, that more realism, I mean, I've seen a lot of people where their meta for like the final circle is to just basically parachute up somewhere or just have a a fuck ton of stims. They're like, it's basically just the who can outstim who. And like, they're not even shooting each other, just running in the fucking, like in like the smoke. Stuff like that. I mean, like, well, in the gas. And it's just like, I'm like, why? It's a shooting game. It's a first person shooter. Shoot each other. Like, why are y'all stimming each other?
It's just the aspect. Like, some people really have to get in those wins. And I mean, shit, you remember back in the day,
I mean, it's funny seeing it, but it's just like, what?
you remember back in the day, we were probably back in, and I can tell you this right now, we were probably one of the number one Warzone players in the state of Kentucky, our team. We
Oh,
because
yeah,
we
most
could get in
definitely.
the game, we would get into games and know we were gonna win. Like, I remember
Yeah,
one
it'd
time,
be
me
up.
and like I forgot who the team was, but we took six back-to-back Warzone ranked wins and was just like, are we ever gonna lose? And
Yeah, I think it was like you, Mike David, and them and stuff.
we
Yeah.
weren't no low tier. It was just like, bro, if we get in this game, we know we're gonna win. Like, if we don't win, we're gonna be second place. And if we're not second place, bad game, bad game, bad game. We suck. Like, we come in third. We come in top five. And if we weren't first or second, we'd be like, bro, we sucked. Like,
I
because
wish you
that
had
was
some
the
of those clips
level we
still,
got
man.
to. We're not there anymore. Don't get me wrong. Look, I can't get into a game and I'll probably get blasted now.
Washed up now, man.
Yeah, washed up now. But in this mode, you can't enter ranked unless you have, I think it's 10 normal Warzone wins. So the competitive level is getting crazy, where people are just trying to get locked in a ranked every season. So I'm just gonna stem. Because
Okay,
in
I
the
see. Yeah.
maps are so bad now. Like, the new maps that they're putting in are set up to where it's like, dude, like, I mean, that one place where the one map where it looks like they created Nuketown, like they're building all the shit for Nuketown in the desert. It shit sucks. It sucks. Like,
It's not really, it's not really that good. I remember me, JJ, and like some other people was all playing it.
it's like a step down from urban combat. Like, there's so many buildings to go through. There's so many shits. The map always ends in, like, it always ends in the center. And one of the aspects of Verdansk that made Verdansk good is that Verdansk would usually always end in the woods or always end at the airport. So
It was open. Exactly. Yeah.
you
Yeah.
knew,
See, that's
like,
a good
bro.
point. See, because like on those stimming videos, it's like they're basically they're on. Well, they're one is on the roof of the same building. One's inside or like in the basement, and they're both fucking stimming the whole time. And I'm just like, if
Stimming.
you don't go down and shoot this man, they're not even looking for each other. It's just the basically, if you have more stims than him, it's a free win essentially. I mean, that's the thing, you know. I guess for the person who wins, that's cool. But you know, from like an audience standpoint, after like the first few times, you get tired of seeing that. You know, I mean, you just get tired of like, you know, even if you was that other guy who wasn't stimming, you just like, where the hell is this guy at? I mean, yeah, you know, and somebody's gonna probably comment, oh, that's a skill issue. I mean, I just feel like, hey, you know, I'm old school, man. I just want to, you know, shoot other people.
You got to run and gun and get the job done. Let's see here, but yeah, man, I feel like, of course, and just moving on, we there's some other things, other games that are coming out, and of course, we mentioned them in previous podcasts. Borderlands 4 is gonna make it, is gonna try to make an immaculate return, this fall 2025, coming in the month of September. Metal Gear Solid is gonna make its triumphant return from a remake from its 2004 game Snake Eater, where we're gonna now see a remastering of Metal Gear Solid. Kids, children, anybody born in 2000, I'd say four and later. Metal Gear Solid was the like when we're talking about like sneak kill games, like Metal Gear Solid, before there was Hitman, you were Snake in Metal Gear Solid. You were
If you had
Snake in
Metal Gear
Metal Gear
Solid.
Solid.
I mean,
And
I
you
want to
were
say even before Splinter Cell. I mean, they probably
it
don't
was
know what Splinter Cell is, but you know,
you it
that's
was
just one.
it was Metal Gear Solid. Metal Gear Solid introduced us to characters like Snake and Raiden, the cybernetic ninja motherfucker that had come in.
Yeah, pretty
And
dope, man. Yeah, it's crazy.
it's one of those things, dude, like where Metal Gear Solid was basically like the game aspect of Ghost in the Shell. Like Metal Gear Solid, it there was so much lore in Metal Gear Solid, from the point where you followed this man's life from whatever he was supposed to be, like just a normal man, to wherever it was like, damn, bro, you're still alive. Like from young man to old man, still in his business, and see the world change. Cybernetic augmented terrorist organizations taking over the world. It was one of those real, like, I don't even know what the genre's called, but kind of like sneaking games where you could either go in stealthy or you could go guns a blazing. But if you went in
Yeah,
guns a
stealth games, yeah.
blazing, understand it had those mechanics where they'd sound the alarm, you get rushed, giant robots would show, like it was one of those things.
That's the Metal Gears. Yeah, see, you bring that up. It made me think about the Death Stranding 2, because you know, they're both made by Hideo Kojima. And I was just kind of seeing that. I was seeing if that was coming out this year too, the Death Stranding 2.
I just want I just, let me see if I can show y'all a picture real quick, man, because
Oh yeah, a
this
solid
was
snake.
probably the most terrifying thing in Metal Gear Solid. And most gamers started referring to it as the cow, but the gecko. And it was this, because whenever you weren't stealthy enough or in certain missions, this thing would show up. It sounded like a cow. It moved like a cow. But you could hear it moving on, like you could hear it moving through the map, and it just hits you with this whenever it found you, and you knew you were fucked. Like, if you were playing as my man Snake, and this is old Snake, if you played Metal Gear Solid from the beginning, you had like young
That's
Snake
the fourth one right there.
and then old Snake, and then of course Raiden. Like it was one of those things where you really had to be stealthy. Because when this thing hits you, there was no coming back. There was no, I'm gonna be okay. There's no, I'm gonna outrun it. The only way you were outrunning this is if it was implemented into the story, or if you were moving on to like an area with a tight crevice, like you could slide underneath a rock or slide between some buildings that it couldn't fit in.
Yeah,
Otherwise,
hop in that box.
you were done. And I'm glad that we're kind of bringing back Metal Gear Solid, especially as a remake, because in this day and age, it wouldn't be enjoyed if it wasn't started from kind of towards the beginning of the story of Snake. And it's just one of those things. And of course, Killing Floor 3 is coming out. So for those of you all that are big fans of Killing Floor 3 is going to be making an appearance here in 2025. course, Fatal Fury. We're gonna see Doom: The Dark Ages, which is,
Yeah, I was just about to bring that up, Doom. Yeah, that's coming out on May 12th.
Doom: The Dark Ages, we're gonna be seeing this spring. And then for all of my people out there, for everybody, as you guys know, From Software is always working hard. They're always, very
Nightreign.
fervent. Another game releasing in May is going to be Nightreign, right there on the
Yeah.
cusp of summer, May 30th.
Yeah, I remember I brought that up during like the last podcast. Yeah, like I'm really excited for that. So
It's gonna be good. A lot of people are already pre-ordering it, and it's not gonna be a main story installment. It's gonna kind of be kind of just one of those side stories. So it's not going for the full $69.99. It's
yep.
actually gonna be going for $39.99. It's gonna be a smaller installment. So if you really, I'm not gonna say that this is gonna be the game that's gonna get you into Souls games. It's not. It's not, and I'm not gonna. And if it maybe it will, maybe it won't. But I won't say that it's a game that's gonna be packed with a lot of lore from other games. So the only way
Yep.
that you're gonna really enjoy this game is, of course, if you play Souls, if you play Elden Ring, if you play Bloodborne, because we're gonna be seeing a lot of bosses that already have mechanics. And I feel like, like I said, it's a cheaper game, so they're probably gonna implement bosses that have their mechanics from prior Souls games or from Elden Ring and just throw them in the game because a lot of them are made off the same engine, so it's not gonna be that hard. And we'll
Yeah.
just work in our team to take them down. Of course, there is no create your character aspect. You're gonna be going in there with pre-generated characters, with pre-generated abilities that of course you can improve. But, it's something.
Yeah, so like last time we talked about it, I didn't really know too much about the game. I did apply for the beta. I wasn't accepted, but I have, a very close friend who was, and he kind of basically he was able to explain the game to me, and also saw, a few streamers play it. So, I mean, it kind of has you drop off, in a map, sort of in like a, like a battle royale Fortnite kind of way. So you drop down into the world, you basically just run around, loot. And it's just in a way, you're looting, but you're kind of doing like a ball, you're kind of doing a speed run too. So, so you just cycle through the days and nights, just trying to beat each boss, trying to become stronger and get more gear and abilities. I mean, so, it's just kind of just like a fast paced, co-op Elden Ring, I mean, versus, the traditional. I mean, they basically take out the, the grinding and the export, like in, exploring your aspect. So there's no, it's less of an adventure and just more straight, action.
Exactly. And for those of you all expecting some of the world building of Elden Ring, as you guys may or may not have seen, George R.R. Martin announced that he will not be working on Nightreign, but of course that they are working on an Elden Ring series. If this happens, it'll of course be one of the first adaptations of Souls-like games coming into our film and TV industry. But Elden Ring, I feel as though, and Quincy, you may have a different opinion, but I feel like Elden Ring incorporated what it took Dark Souls three titles to do, worth of lore and backstory, into just that one game and that one DLC.
Yeah, I mean, the first three games, they didn't really have, a legendary, writer, for, so, but, they, all those games walk, crawled, walked so Elden Ring could run, I mean, you know how I feel about the original trilogy of Dark Souls, I mean, I'm really, those will forever be my favorite. Well, besides Dark Souls 2, I'm sorry for anybody who likes Dark Souls 2. Sorry about that. But Elden Ring is a good game, not bashing it. It was like a, I said previously, they implemented a lot of stuff from those games. But I admit they did streamline it. It's kind of in a way like what Monster Hunter World did for, the Monster Hunter series. It just made it really appealing to like the mainstream and the casual gamer people, like, which isn't a bad thing. I'm glad that people was able to beat that game and go back, and play Bloodborne. I mean, like some people was already playing, Sekiro and stuff, and also try like Dark Souls 1, 2, and 3. But, I mean,
Very
yeah, I'm
excited.
excited for it. Let's
I'm very excited. And
see what
we out
else.
here.
Yeah, so I'm trying to think of what is there. There's something else that's coming out. Like I had it like on my mind earlier, but can't really think of it right now.
But it wasn't Rune Factory, was it? Or
Yeah, I'm seeing that. No, it wasn't that game. Have you heard about something called Fragpunk?
No, I
Yeah,
haven't heard of that.
it's like one of those hero like arena shooters. I mean, that wasn't really like the game I was talking about, but it's basically gonna come out and it's gonna try to be a competitor to Overwatch 2 and Marvel Rivals. I just feel like they're really brave for releasing that after what happened to Concord last year. Yeah, I mean, yeah. So you guys just go ahead and just research Fragpunk. Yeah, actually, yeah, just go ahead and look it up. You just
Oh
show like
yeah.
a trailer, get some gameplay and stuff.
Another game you all should be looking forward to, you know, for a lot of my people that were a big fan of The Sims back in the day, is a new game called
Yeah.
Inzoi. Inzoi is basically so it's made by a new publisher. I'm pretty sure that they are a Korean developer, if I'm not mistaken. Korean developer Krafton. And it's basically The Sims on steroids. It's The Sims populated in Unreal Engine. For those that were big fans of the original Sims, I was a big fan of the older Sims. The new Sims, cash grabs. And Electronic Arts, if you really want to go there, if you really want to argue, if you really want to go to court over it, cash grabs. Same DLCs, less features, everything you have to work, you know, you had to buy. Where the original Sims were actually life simulators, like it focused on your life simulation. Buy a house, get a job, get a good job, get a bigger house, get married, have kids, do the whole nine yards. And I feel like after Sims 3, everything went downhill. But Inzoi is a new take on kind of a new look at things, where yes, it's a life sim, but it's super realistic to the point where, of course, you know, they're using systems and you know, mechanics to just say, oh yeah, the most you just live your life and we'll implement random life occurrences within the game, like, oh, today you got into a car accident on your way to work. Whoa, like who would
Yeah,
have
that's
thought?
just yeah, a
Or
real life simulator right
real
there.
life simulator, today you lost your job. Who would have thought? You got laid off. Like, so it's going to be a more realistic take on a life sim where everything isn't set up to where like The Sims was. If you do everything right is going to happen. So, you know, for my people that are into life simulation games, just keep a lookout for that. Of course, it's releasing on PC this month, March 28th. Xbox and PlayStation are going to have to wait a little longer, but it's going to be something that I feel like it's going to be a unique play. And I think for those that are interested in games like that, please give it a try, because this is a relatively new take, new genre, not new genre, but new IP, and I feel like it, you know, it should get a look at. Other than that, guy, I feel like we've come now towards our end. Quincy, do you have anything more for him?
As far as games, that's coming out in spring, honestly, not too much. I'm just looking forward towards Nightreign, really. Doom, I would like to try that. And I mean, I feel like during our next podcast, we'll actually be able to talk about, how some of these games that, that are coming out in March, April, May, coming out. I mean, how they end up.
Yeah,
I mean,
really important.
then, this is past spring, potentially fall. I'm looking very forward to GTA 6.
Yeah,
I mean, yeah, it's
very
just,
much so.
yeah, I think a lot of games are kind of making space for GTA. So that's why it's kind of like I'm looking through, I'm like, okay, there isn't really a lot that's going to be releasing, this holiday season.
And of course, they haven't slapped on an actual release date for it.
Exactly,
And
yeah.
in wonderful Rockstar fashion, because of course it's going to be something that they don't know when it's going to come. They formally announced that it's going to be sometime in fall 2025, but never gave us an exact timeline. I'm really hoping it
Yep.
doesn't push back. But again, they just said fall 2025. They didn't give us an exact date. So if they do push it back, they got a lot of wiggle room with that. If anything, I just hope that it comes out this year. One thing we also forgot to mention was Kingdom Come Deliverance 2. took the wrong
Oh,
one.
yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Yeah, Kingdom Come Deliverance 2 got some really good metrics. 9 out of 10 on Steam. A lot of people have ranked that game 5 stars. And for those that didn't play the first Kingdom Come Deliverance, it was one of those things where, it's your average zero to hero game, where you start off not really knowing much about nothing, and by the end of the game, people are like, ah, no, I'm not messing with that guy. And Kingdom Come Deliverance 2 kind of took it to the next level. You didn't really start as like a zero as you did in the first one, but by the end of Kingdom Come Deliverance 2, you're the guy. And
Yeah, so I've seen the name and I've seen it's been doing great. You mind just explaining it? I mean, because I'm pretty sure I'm not the only one who doesn't really know too much. I mean, as far as like the main gameplay, is this similar to Fable or like The Witcher? Like how is that
no,
kind
no,
of
no.
okay?
I wouldn't compare it to those two games. Kingdom Come Deliverance is honestly its own thing. Like, it's really the first of its kind. And of course, it's set in the Czech Republic. It's a Middle Earth game, medieval times, where you basically it's a serious RPG aspect. It comes with its own combat mechanics. It's actually one of the only games to have its combat mechanic, where you're going in. Yes, you're doing sword, shield, crossbow, bow fighting, horseback fighting, but there are so many limiters put in place until you like improve your skills that in the beginning of the game, just getting pulled up on by some bandits is enough to be it for you. And you really have to like it takes it take the first one had a little, I feel like, had some direction because it was all about avenging your parents. With the second one, of course, I mean, the story continues, but also you're now put in certain predicaments where, yeah, you were super strong, but now we got to build you back up again because you got knocked down, but we're going to build you back up again. And you basically travel the medieval world, improving your skills, like to the point where your character in the first one doesn't know how to read, which was very common in the time. So unless you go to like the local church and talk to like the priest and take
You don't really
lessons
know what
on
to do.
reading, there will be some points in the game where, oh, I don't know how to read. So
So
like
you basically just be stuck right there.
you'd be like, yeah, you'd be stuck right there, or you would have to like figure things out, which could have been very simple if you knew how to read, if you took the time to go. It's an open world, so if you took the time to explore the world to learn how to read, it would have been that hard. Or take lessons in fighting tourneys to become a better fighter, better knight. There will be some combat encounters that will screw you up because, oh shoot, like I'm not as good of a fighter as this other guy, and he's effing me up. And of course, it's very realistic. You don't have superpowers. You're not a demigod. You're not a god. You're not a sorcerer. You're not none of that shit. You're a normal guy. So if you take a few slashes or a fatal stab from a sword, you're gonna feel it, or you're gonna like you're either feeling it later or you're dying th right then and there. Like there is an injury system. Like if you get effed up in a fight and yes, you live, you will still be injured from that fight. There's sleep mechanics. You can't just travel the world like in Skyrim and be like, I don't need sleep. Who needs sleep? This guy needs sleep.
So is it kind of like, is it like a system like Minecraft? Is this if you don't sleep, is something, will like affect you?
Yeah, if
You
you
know
don't
what I mean?
sleep, you'll eventually start suffering from exhaustion. Of course, there's a day and night cycle, so you'll be able to tell that you've been up all day or you've been up all night. And of course, you need to go to you should sleep. It's regimen, so there's other mechanics in there. Like there are things that become fairly necessary for you to do as this guy. It's one of those things where I'd say you could start with the second one. You absolutely can. You absolutely can. And it's one of those things where the second one has a lot of improvements made from the first one, where I recommend, you could start with the second one. But if you start with the second one, it's one of those things where I'll be like, go on YouTube and have them give you a generalized run through of the first one so that you're not going in there like, I don't know what the hell's going on. Because it ties into it. Like a lot of the familiar faces in the second one, of course, are people that you met in the first one. A lot of what's going on ties into the first one. A lot of the people that you meet draw, draw a lot of backstory from the first game. So I would say just do the quick YouTube rundown. I think there's, I would say if you really want to get into it, do a real in-depth rundown, like one of the hour-long
Okay.
videos. Because I feel like the quick run-throughs don't cover enough, like the 10, 15-minute summations, where it's like, okay, but they don't go over all the characters enough for you to actually understand, like in the second one, where it would be like, why am I helping this person? Why am I looking for this person? What am I doing? Why is this guy important? Why are we here right now? Why do I want to kill this guy? Like,
Yeah.
yeah.
It gets deep.
Yeah.
It gets deep, man.
But,
Well, I mean, well, you know, I appreciate that real quick rundown, like on the game. I mean, because, you know, I admit, you know, I don't play every game off bat, but, you know, I'm willing to, you know, try everything, you
And
know,
the
and learn about new games.
first one's on sale $8 right now. So,
Okay.
like, if you really want to do that, if you really want to like grab it, I mean, I play on Steam, but it's 75% off on Steam right now, because of the spring sale. I'm pretty sure Xbox might be doing its own spring sale. They usually like to play Mimic, but go there and get it. Of course, it's a deep silver game. So you spoke a lot about Saints Row. Kingdom Come
Yep.
Deliverance is like Saints Row died, yes, but Kingdom Come Deliverance is now Deep Silver's like their golden ticket.
Okay.
Like they're the publisher. Of course, it's developed by Warhorse Studios, but Deep Silver kind of, I feel like
There's more
they
like
more
passion put
so they
into
more
it.
yeah they more so abandoned Saints Row and are now truly backing Kingdom Come over Saints Row and like Dead Island and Payday.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense, yeah. So I just see like the second one right here. Like, well, I'm on the Xbox store. But yeah, that sounds good, man. I mean, that sounds like, you know, we pretty much talked about most of the games in spring, you know, besides some of like the indie games that came out. But, you know, I mean, that'd be a conversation for like another day.
Yeah. And of course, as you guys know, we're going to try to get back to bringing you guys a new episode every week. So please look forward to the gaming issue. Once you guys get this episode, again, like I said, understand we're doing a lot of things here at Village. Spring is going to be very busy for us. You're going to see us make appearances at, Southwest Conference was this past weekend, but you're going to see us making appearances at, of course, DreamCon. We have a few ideas for DreamCon. I'm probably going to get the guys to dress up like Viltrumites. Either that or we'll all be different Invincibles, parallel universe. But
That's cool.
of course, we're doing a lot. So when you guys watch this, come on out to some of these events. Of course, summer, we got to, make every summer, make every spring last. It's a lot of people's spring break right now. So for those of you all that are listening, of course, always go out, strive to be safe. Go on your Instagram, your YouTube, all your social medias. Be sure to be looking at our content. And then, of course, I never thought that I'd turn into one of these guys, but a lot of you guys are watching our videos and you're not subscribing.
Is this
You're
true?
like,
Yeah. I've been looking at the numbers.
it
Yeah.
means a lot to us. If you like our content, please leave a like. If you dislike our content, please go ahead and dislike. But just don't do nothing. Please. It goes a long way just leaving a like to help us out on the algorithm. And of course, if you guys are continuous watchers, like if you keep coming back for more, please subscribe. I know there are a lot of people out there that are like, I'm not going to be that person that subscribes to YouTube or content creators. I'm not a subscriber type of nigga. Listen, subscribe. It helps us out a lot. And it's only a tap of a button for you, but for us, it means the world. So please go on our YouTube. Like, subscribe, leave your comments on our Instagram. Please like, comment, follow. We have millions of you guys that watch our Instagram videos, and we're only at like 20,000 followers. Guys, we've been doing this for over a year. We've been able to maintain over a million viewers a month for literally, I kid you not, probably a little over 8 months now. So at least, come on, guys, at least help us work towards 100,000. At least help us work towards 100,000 follows. Please put us on the map. Village is here for you guys. We love you. Whatever you guys decide to do this summer, this spring, please be safe. Please come out and enjoy the conferences, enjoy the cons. Come join Village.
Yeah, and like before I sign off, I just want to say, you know, engage with us. You know, we don't mind, you know, as far as certain opinions that we say or certain things, if you have like a rebuttal, don't be afraid, to either fact check us or also, you just say your two cents on certain topics. And also, just go ahead, if you can join the Discord, watch us, stream on Twitch, and you guys can, I mean, we can even set up, a few games, just kicking back as a community, really. I mean, it's just always, just keeping, just having that community.
All right, everybody. As I said before, it's your guy Tay. This is my partner in crime, Quincy. We're signing off.
All right.